We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. Fourth and final quarter of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're continuing our player profile series. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. Coming to you, of course, from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We've been doing this series for a while now. It's going to take us all the way through the summer. It just makes sense to check in on each of the scholarship guys on the roster, figure out where they are and where they're going, what their roles are going to be in 2019, what their recruiting backgrounds were, because I think that plays a part in some of that. You can check out that whole series at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can check it out on the Keystone Sports app. You can stream this and all kinds of other of our segments on Spotify now as well, which we're excited to be on there. Another avenue just to tune in and listen and catch up with Penn State football talk all year round. So let's work our way down through. We are still early in the roster. We're working down numerically. We're still in the teens, so we still got quite a ways to go. The first player on our list for today is Ellis Brooks, the linebacker, which I think the number one thing that comes to mind. Well, first of all, on the recruiting front, I thought he was arguably one of Penn State's biggest recruiting wins. If you look at the context of the situation, Dylan Rivers had decommitted, flipped to Virginia Tech.
Dylan Rivers.
Yeah.
There's a name in the Wayback Machine.
He came up last week, too. Yeah.
Wow.
So he decommits, flips to Virginia Tech, has some not great things to say about Penn State. He's a good player, and I'm sure he's going to be fine for the rest of his Virginia Tech career. But at that time, when he decommits and flips, Penn State was having struggles at linebacker.
Right.
And this is not an ordinary school to be having struggles recruiting linebackers. This is linebacker you we're talking about who could not land a linebacker to save his life, it would seem. And so when Dylan Rivers flips, that feeds into this whole narrative. And then within, I think, 5 or 7 days, they go from Dylan Rivers, they get Ellis Brooks, who was I think across the board a more highly regarded prospect than mm-hmm. Dylan Rivers was. He was built to play in the middle. He was big as a high school prospect. He's a big kid now. So the other thing now is can he compete with Jan Johnson? Can he overtake Jan Johnson? What's his role going to be this year? As part of that 2017 recruiting class, you started to see him show a little bit of promise towards the end of last season. I don't know what that's going to look like in 2019, but I still think, this linebacker depth chart is being filled up with talent. I still think that he's going to be a multi-year starter at middle linebacker.
Yeah, I do too. The only question I have at this point is, are we going to see a Koa Farber, Micah Parsons like split where Koa started, maybe played two series, and then Micah came in and pretty much played the rest of the way? Are we going to see that this year with Jan Johnson, and he maybe starts and plays 2-3 series and comes in occasionally in certain situations, but for the most part, Ellis Brooks plays most of the game? Or are we going to see more of an even split, or is it going to be a split tilted toward Jan Johnson? We really, truthfully don't know. I mean, Penn State put Jan on scholarship. Obviously, all the transfers left them with some scholarships left, so you don't want to read too much into that. But at the same time, this Penn State football team has an interesting linebacker pitcher because Cam Brown looks as good as he ever has. Micah Parsons is obviously going to grow into the starting role, so that's two of your three. And the question just becomes now, Dustin, what do they do at that middle linebacker spot, and how does Brent Price split those reps up? And I think Ellis Brooks is going to be a big part of that conversation. It's just a matter of how big.
Well, yeah, and what's going to be interesting to see in this age of sub packages, right? You're going to have there's still going to be a need for your true blue middle linebacker, mm-hmm. and Ellis Brooks, as we sit here today, 6'1", 240 pounds, one of the heavier linebackers on the roster. Also, he just plays a little heavier. He's not really going to be your ideal guy to drop back and coverage a great deal. He's going to be your run game guy. So you're going to start to see, I think, middle linebackers in these situations where you move to two linebacker and you know, one of your hybrid guys, you're going to see these are the types of guys who are going to come off the field first. Right. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's still a big need for their ability to stop the run. Jan Johnson, of course, a redshirt senior now. Ellis Brooks, that torch, it makes sense to be moved to be given to him. So I think he's going to be an important player. One thing I'm curious to see is Jesse Luketa. Is he going to be an outside guy? Or could he be a competitor inside? I don't really know. We'll start to find out. I think he's got the flexibility to do that. So it's not a slam dunk, I guess, is the point with Ellis Brooks moving forward. I do think you got something there with the Koa Farmer, Micah Parsons type split. You're going to see Ellis Brooks play more of a role. You're going to see these guys. It could be a pretty even split between the two of them now.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's an automatic that Ellis Brooks is going to be your starter for sure. He's going to dominate reps moving forward. He's got to go out there and earn that still.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, he's a guy that is growing into a bigger role and is going to secure himself a bigger role sooner rather than later. I don't think there's any question about that, but it will take some time and some direction and things like that. So, you know, he will have to ensure his snaps, and I think he'll be able to do that this summer.
Looking at the next one on the list here, the second number 13, it's Michael Johnson Jr., who the true freshman quarterback. He arrived in January, highly regarded, a four-star, came all the way across the country to be here. He's sitting at 6'2", 205 pounds. I think when it comes to pure running ability, he's got more of that ability as a high school player than any other quarterback that James Franklin has recruited. The questions for him will come, you know, he's still a pretty lanky kid. I think he's got to fill out there. I think he's got to smooth out technical footwork, find his arm slot. He's got to do a lot of that self-discovery as a quarterback. He also arrives with Taquan Roberson. Everybody knows that. There's going to be a little bit of a race to see which of these freshmen develops the fastest and what their roles are going to be moving forward, because you seem to have the immediate future locked down with Sean Clifford and with Will Levis. So which of these guys sticks around? Because I'm assuming they're not both going to finish their careers at Penn State.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just in this day and age, it's almost impossible to do that, right? I mean, Michael Johnson Jr. comes in, a guy that had a really successful high school career. I will say that at this point, you're going to probably see quarterback room movement every offseason, if not every other offseason at most. So that's something to keep in mind. Then the other thing to consider, too, is Michael Johnson Jr. is a guy that does have some experience playing some other positions, you know, receiver and things like that. So you might be able to find a way to get him more involved at other positions. Maybe not a full-fledged Lion like Tommy Stevens was, but certainly a guy who can make plays in a number of areas and really strive for ways to get on the field despite the position that he came to school for. So I do expect him to be a player we see the Lions find a way to utilize in more ways than just under center over the next couple of years.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is our player profile series where we're working our way down through Penn State's roster numerically, one player at a time, just going through their backgrounds and what their futures hold for them. This segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Speaking of the future, the 2019 season is just around the corner, and they've still got so many good ways for you to enjoy a home Penn State football weekend, that break out of that norm, that rut of the norm. So you stay in an RV for a weekend, better than a hotel room in my opinion. You get the whole tailgating experience from Friday through Sunday. You can get a shuttle to and from Beaver Stadium. It's a great way to take in a Penn State football game and make a whole weekend experience out of it. Check them out at gopsurv.com. Week one, speaking of the 2019 season, your starting quarterback, in all likelihood, Sean Clifford, as a redshirt sophomore. It's probably happening a year before most anticipated, but with the news that Tommy Stevens is exploring his transfer options, including a consideration in Mississippi State and Joe Moorhead, not a lot of concrete information on where, as of right now, as we sit here today, where he's going to go. But Sean Clifford, would seem to have done everything he could possibly do right with the first team reps he was getting this spring. So it's not a huge upset. I don't think anybody was really ready to anoint Tommy Stevens. Were fans really ready to anoint Tommy Stevens? My experience with fans is that there was a pretty good split between who was looking for Sean Clifford and who was looking for Tommy Stevens to start at quarterback. Now there's just not much of a conversation to have. Sean Clifford is your guy. The dialogue has shifted since then, and we've addressed this before. I know I did my minute last week on this. Sean Clifford, can he execute when it comes to being a running quarterback type thing? And there's no evidence out there that suggests that he can't. Just because he's not Tommy Stevens – you can say he's not Trace McSorley, but I also remember saying when Sean Clifford was a high school prospect, I thought from a pure physical skill standpoint, Sean Clifford, I thought, had a little bit more live arm than Trace McSorley, was a little bit bigger, and he looked to be a little bit quicker than Trace McSorley at that point in time. Certainly in the same neighborhood, so I don't think you have any real limitations with Sean Clifford here. He's not your – you know, he's not the same kind of power runner that Tommy Stevens is. He's also not constrained to the pocket either. I think that's not a very well-founded concern.
Yeah, no, not at all. I think that, again, are you going to have to maybe – are you going to see a little bit different of an offense? Yeah, I mean, I guess of course you are. But I just think it's been overstated that Penn State's offense has to change drastically because Tommy Stevens could run and Sean Clifford can't run. Sean Clifford can run enough. I mean, again – I just one thing that's interesting, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. One thing I find most fascinating about this opportunity for Penn State and for Sean Clifford is Trace McSorley, especially in the latter half of the 2018 season, was a guy that just ran. If it broke down, he ran. Tommy Stevens, all we ever saw was him run. Not necessarily his fault. The game situation dictated a lot of that. But Sean Clifford, to me, is a guy that's the opposite. He's going to wait. If Trace McSorley thought he could get 15 yards if he just went left now and went and run, Sean Clifford's going to say, let me see if I can throw for 15 yards. I think that's an interesting new dynamic Penn State will have to keep offenses off balance.
So I think just his strength as a quarterback is going to be just that. He seems to have, just albeit in a limited sample size, a really good feel for the position and the timing it requires, that pocket sense, a certain amount of confidence in his ability. He seems to be able to make the full range of throws, can do it with touch, can push the ball down the field, delivers a very catchable ball down the field. So I think Penn State is getting it going. There could be some growing pains, of course. He's going to be a redshirt sophomore, but in the long run, we got this question earlier in the week. Looking ahead to 2020 and beyond, this could be a best case scenario. Maybe take a step back, take a step forward in 2020. We'll see. Sean Clifford has a chance to be a very good quarterback, and it could happen sooner than you think. All right, that's it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. You be sure to check us out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Download the Keystone Sports app and check us out on Spotify.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA-preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.